So those of you who were here 2.5 years ago, or before COVID, really, you remember how we used to wear name tags? Why did we do that? Especially in such a tiny congregation. Well, yeah, it helps newcomers. It helps those of us with, memory issues. It's welcoming. It's a way of love, right? Well, why do you think we have programs? To help us know what's coming up next? Gives us some security in that? Gives us something to hold on to and take home? Is that also a way of loving? When we provide something that makes people feel more comfortable and safe? We'll come back to thinking about how we love at the end today, but for now I would like you to listen to this next section of Romans 12. Today we're hearing verses 9 through 13, and because it's so short, but also so important, we're going to do a little bit of Lectio Divina. So that's where we hear it, and then we sit with it for a little bit in silence and see what stands out to us. And we'll hear it in three different translations. And while there's really a whole formal process for Lectio Divina, we're not going to get into it that much, but I'd like you to just listen and pay attention to what stands out to you for each of these readings. So we'll be hearing first from the New Living Translation, then the Common English Bible, and then the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. So again, this is Romans 12, 9 through 13. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil. And hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble. And devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Paul here is calling his early church to live together as if we're family, knit together, concerned for one another, caring for one another. To let love be genuine, the scripture says. Or to state the negative of that, don't love as hypocrites do, which is to say,
You speak of love, but you don't actually do anything. To actually do the things of love, though, is way harder. Now, we remember that Paul's talking to the Romans. Remember, it was a mixture of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, so there was some kind of one-upmanship happening because some people had this religious background and training and some didn't, and he's saying, you can't do that. And so there's a lot of political, social, religious barriers between the people who were sitting together on a Sunday to break bread. And so he just keeps hammering home in this letter, you must love one another. You must honor one another. You must allow the gifts of the other to benefit the whole. And if you have gifts to offer it, which we talked about last week, actually show some care and some affection. Now, it doesn't mean you have to feel warm and fuzzy affection necessarily. This is brotherly love or neighborly love. It's putting the needs of somebody else ahead of your own. Abba Anthony spoke about the body of Christ, which is what we call the church. And he spoke of it as one body, saying this: we are all of one substance and members of one another. Therefore, we ought greatly to love one another. For one who loves one's neighbors loves God. And one who loves God loves his or her own soul. And he says we can do this by rousing up the image of God within ourselves and seeing it in the other. So caring for one another isn't just what Jesus called us to do, but it's, some would argue, a sign of civilization. Anthropologist Margaret Mead argued that the earliest sign of civilization in a culture wasn't some tool or some object that helped them farm or hunt. Rather, she said it was the image was a healed femur, a broken leg that had been healed. And her explanation was that as long as the rules of the jungle or the survival of the fittest was the highest aspiration, the supreme law, you wouldn't find a healed bone. But a healed femur indicates that people grew in compassion enough to care for someone, to do their hunting and gathering while they couldn't, to protect them from the beasts that would have happily eaten the weakest. And the community bore the cost of that continued care for someone other than themselves. So she argues that that sign of compassion is the first indication of civilization. I kind of like that. One might wonder then, as sometimes countries begin to lose compassion for neighbors, or we lose compassion for neighbors or people we run up against, if we're leaving civilization behind. It's an incredibly divisive time in our country. Attempting to understand the opposing viewpoint is not in vogue. It's much more popular to fight for your beliefs and convince the other person to change their mind, or they're wrong and they can get out of here. We've kind of overshot our goal of personal independence and freedom. And we saw that throughout the pandemic. My independence and freedom should not require me to protect you from this disease. You know, and even the 4th of July celebrations, which we love, I like fireworks. If we start to think about it, though, those can also be filled with selfish moments. Particularly if you live in Shasta County and you hear fireworks going off and you know they're illegal. Somebody isn't satisfied with what the city or county provides and they want their own. And we know that comes at the risk of wildfire. We also know it comes at the risk of trauma to animals. Always we see lost dogs after the fireworks display. It comes to the risk of trauma to combat veterans who have PTSD. And the risk of wildfire scares, I think, all of us now who have had evacuations or loved ones lose homes. Where is the love? Where's the compassion? Now, we all know what it is to love somebody and still hope that they improve, right? I mean, maybe it's a spouse that just can't quite maintain an exercise plan or a healthy diet, or it's the relative that you love but just can't seem to hold a job together or a relationship, or maybe it's that sibling that is always wanting to borrow money because they're always in debt. We see the potential in these people that we love. We know that God has given them all this creative potential and possibility, and we want them to embrace it and live up to their full potential as children of God, living a life of shalom, of wholeness. So we don't love them less in their faults and foibles and brokenness. But sometimes we have some hard conversations with them. Sometimes we call them to do better, to live up to who we know they really are. I think we can have that same tension with our love of country. We can be grateful and count ourselves among the most blessed upon the planet to live in this place, and we can call our country to face its troubling history. We can call it to face some of the disasters in its current state, and we can work to get it to live up to the potential that democracy has to offer us. When we're called to love by God, it's not just within the church or within our family. It's beyond the walls of the church. I think my favorite text to read on this weekend for Independence Day is actually from Galatians 5. It's verses 13 through 15, and I'll read it to you. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Or as the scripture we read earlier said, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. And here, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We're called to love no matter whether it's church or family or community or country or world. And the genuineness means the love is active. It's action. In the Eastern European countries near Ukraine, this has been playing out since the attacks began. Anna is a refugee from Kyiv, and she said they didn't know where they were going, they were just headed west. And now she and 18 others are living in a United Methodist retreat center in the Czech Republic. They are guests served by the church community. Elsewhere, people, not just Methodists, by all means, not even just Christians, but people have opened their doors and welcomed strangers, people who they may not even share language with, to let them live in their homes. Why do they do that? Because it's love. In San Antonio, Texas, this week, where 51 people tragically died in a tractor trailer that overheated this week as they were desperately seeking a better way of life. Love looks like advocacy, immigration reform. And as the Methodist pastor there stated, it calls us to re-examine what our country's forefathers believed in unalienable rights. What does that mean today as we hear the bishop in Mexico describe the extreme poverty and high-risk living situations people are fleeing from, even at great risk to themselves? And this month in Kigali, Rwanda, hospitality took a different form, the form of education. There, the Methodist Conference had a conference, a workshop for all of their Methodist pastors and their spouses to disseminate accurate information about HIV and AIDS so that it could counter local teachings that those were a result of sorcery or witchcraft. And by doing that, they were empowering these pastors to love their communities better because they knew how to be safe. They knew not to be afraid of the disease and only see the disease when they saw a person. And then they could teach their communities how they can live safely, even among the disease. They learned to honor the human in front of them and let go of the stigma of that particular disease. That's what love looked like this month around the world. So here in less dramatic ways like we talked about, we can offer love to one another. A smile, a phone call, a program, some hand sanitizer, a mask. And we can look for ways that we can love more. Let your love be genuine, Paul says. The opposite of hypocrisy, which is to speak of love and do nothing. So I leave you today with just a question. How can we, individually but also collectively, make our love more genuine? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite you.